Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning is Alaska Division of Agriculture Director Arthur Keyes. Welcome, Director Keyes.
Thank you.
I don't know why I just called you that. Welcome, Arthur. I felt a cough coming on and it threw off what I was saying.
Good morning, yeah. Amy Pettit.
Thanks for being here. It's the week of Thanksgiving. We have to honor that. Thanksgiving tomorrow. What local food is going to be on your plate, Arthur?
Well, you know, no Thanksgiving would complete, of course, without local potatoes.
Yeah.
But I think we'll probably have some local carrots and probably some local onions. And
are you having local protein this year?
Maybe a local ham.
Oh,
I'll
cool.
tell you what. You know, yeah, I think that we have a smoked ham from Delta Meat and Sausage
Yum.
In the freezer, and
those
there's
the
nothing
best.
Like it.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah,
cool. Well, it being the week of Thanksgiving, there's also something else important about that, and that is,
yeah,
that,
what is that
Ag Matters is celebrating 2 years on the air
that
this week.
Awesome.
Yeah. Let's make the show about me instead of you.
Oh, let's do it. No. Let's make it about you. I like that
kidding.
Idea. Yeah.
Just kidding. But I do want to thank you for your support of the show throughout the last couple of years. You've been a regular guest updating us about what's been going on with the Division of Ag. And I know you're an avid listener too, right?
Well, I am an avid listener.
You used to call in when the show was live. You'd call in every once in a while.
This is true. But I will tell you this though. My schedule is not as free-flowing as maybe I would like, so
yeah.
that I'm able to listen every single week. But I do. I'm a fan.
We've covered some cool topics over the course of 2 years. In addition to having you on every quarter to keep us updated about what's going on at the Division of Ag, we've had a lot of your staff members talking about different programs at the Division of Ag. But there have really been some cool shows on Ag Matters over the course of the last 2 years. I still have to say, all my favorites our livestock shows, the Woolly Pigs, the Yaks out in Copper Center, and Scott Muggeridge's Delta Junction Beef. Those three shows kind of jump right to the forefront of my mind. Have you had a favorite?
Have I had a favorite?
Yeah, favorite show.
I'm sure I have, but nothing.
When you're on, right?
Nothing's popping on top of my head right now. I'm so sorry, Amy.
Okay, that's all right. That's all right. Well, let's not waste any more time talking about that. Let's talk.
That was
about...
not wasted time.
Let's talk about what's going on at the Division of Ag. Give us your update. What's been going on since you were here last? What's coming up on the horizon? What do you want to tell us about?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think we should just start about talking about things that are going on right now.
Yeah.
In the ag world. So
yeah.
Last week we had the Sustainable Agriculture Conference in Anchorage.
Yeah.
And
which,
pause
real quick, shout
yeah.
out to that. Thrilled that Cooperative Extension brought it back. Hopefully they'll start making it a regular thing. You know, you and I have attended SAIRs in the past where it was an annual meeting. It was 200 people in the audience, really great participation. I'm glad that Cooperative Extension brought it back this year, and I'm really hopeful that they'll continue to grow it over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think that's noteworthy, and I think it a really big shout-out goes out to Casey Matney and Janice
yeah.
Chumley for the work they did.
70-some presentations over the course of 3 days.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
They had to hustle to make this happen.
Yep.
They really did a fantastic job. And you're right. You and I have been to a lot of SAIRs, and you've spoken at them.
Oh, yeah.
I've spoken at them, and this was a very fun-filled three or 4 days
yep.
of a presentation. So,
yep.
very cool stuff there, and so that happened last week.
Yep.
And going forward, we have tomorrow is the annual Farm Bureau meeting in Anchorage.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And so a huge shout out to Bryce Wrigley and Amy Seitz
yep.
for all the work they put into that.
Mm-hmm.
And probably a slightly different format than quite a bit actually different format than the SAIR conference. But
yeah.
but those are two ag events that are happening. And if someone's involved in agriculture or interested in agriculture, those are two events that would be good to, to attend.
Yeah, put on your calendar for next year.
Yeah, hear what's going on.
Let's pause there for a second, talk a little bit about the Farm Bureau. Amy hasn't been on the show in a while. Amy Seitz, their executive director. Farm Bureau is the largest advocacy group, I think, in the in the state. It's one of the largest advocacy groups in the state. It's certainly the largest agriculture advocacy group. They're part of a nationwide organization, the National Farm Bureau, and they really like to be the voice of agriculture, the voice of reason, the voice of keeping agriculture at the forefront of people's minds and positive, right. Things about agriculture. And if you're involved in eating in Alaska, you ought to consider being a Farm Bureau member, even if you're not a farmer,
yep.
Right?
They have an associate membership just
they
for
–
and as you know, and maybe the listeners don't know, I was on the board of directors for the for the State Farm Bureau before I became director of agriculture for the state of Alaska. And they actually have a membership option there for people that are not farmers but want to support
– one of them.
Associate members.
Yep.
So I think that's a great thing to point out that people could join. And if you like eating, if you think food's a good thing
– raise your hand if you ate today.
Yeah. Yeah, so some cool stuff going on there.
Yeah, Farm Bureau.
Farm Bureau.
I'm a promoter. I think people should join. They're going to be involved in agriculture legislation. They're going to at the national and local level.
Yep.
When the wild sheep and goat issue became such a hot topic here in Alaska, Farm Bureau took the lead on that in advocating for the sheep and goat industry. And as topics come up, people look to the Farm Bureau. What's your stance? What's your position? How do you feel about this? So if you have an issue, Farm Bureau is a good place to take it and make it a hot topic.
And that's, you bring that up and people may have some misunderstandings about the Division of Agriculture's role in all of these issues that come up. And the reality is Division of Ag, there's a guardrail. There's lines painted on the road.
Just one?
Probably more than one. But there's lines on the road. There's guardrails of where we've got to operate. And the Farm Bureau has such a broader ability to do things. And so on the sheep and goat issue, there was some criticism or some input from the community that the Division of Ag
wasn't doing enough.
It wasn't doing enough. Yeah. And the reality was that the sheep and goat issue was outside of those lines for the Division of Agriculture. We don't have the state veterinarian under our purview, and this is a state veterinarian issue.
Yeah.
And so we did contribute to the conversation quite
Absolutely.
A bit, facilitated meetings and whatnot, but we were definitely operating, I think right on the line, and without the Farm Bureau, contributing, I think people would have really been disappointed in the outcome.
Yeah, I agree.
So.
And good news. Well, I don't know if it's good news, but I'll have to have Amy on the show again soon, or maybe Susie Crosby, somebody involved in that, to update us, because there have been some more updates on that hot topic, right?
I think they found MOV throughout Alaska,
right?
In the wild populations, where there's
every every animal that they tested had it, right?
In populations that are isolated and have never had contact with a domestic.
Sheep or goat.
Yeah, so I think it really watered down the arguments quite a bit.
Hopefully.
And it should change from a scientific perspective the conversation.
Absolutely.
I hope.
A good thing, yeah. Well, a quick reminder to folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I am your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning is Arthur Keyes, the State of Alaska Department of Natural Resources Division of Agriculture Director, right?
Get
all the titles in there. Yep.
Yeah.
So apart from that, what else is going on? Another hot topic that your staff talked about at the SARE conference was the hemp, marijuana, what do we want to call it? How do you want to talk about it today? I'll bring it up this way. I don't think you heard this show. You've got to go back and listen to the Mike Emmers interview.
I did not hear that
Mike Emmers has completely transitioned his farm from organic vegetable production to organic method marijuana production.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
I had heard that rumor and I
not
meant to call Mike.
And
talked to him about that. I've been to his farm. I've seen his operation. He's a first-class vegetable grower.
Yeah.
I mean, he really contributed to the community
for 20 years.
Local eats standpoint.
Yeah.
And hear that he's completely transitioned away from vegetables. I'd really like to talk to him some more about that.
I need to have him back on the show because we barely got into the marijuana side of it and there's so much more to tell. He texted me afterwards like, Amy, we didn't get to any of the stuff. I was like, I know.
So ultimately, my take on marijuana is an agriculture product.
Sure.
It's not, I think from a regulatory standpoint, it's not viewed as an agriculture product, but it is.
Yeah.
It's agriculture.
Absolutely.
You're growing something from it. You're cloning it. You're starting with seeds, whatever.
Yeah.
You are growing it.
Yeah.
And I think that's a conversation that we're only recently starting to have.
Sure.
And so, I've met with the regulators, Erica McConnell and some of her team at the Marijuana Alcohol Control Board.
Okay.
And they see things from when they think of alcohol, they don't think of that's a agriculture crop. product. But right. the reality is your alcohol is also a...
Where did it come from?
Yeah. And so I think where agriculture is starting to add something to the conversation on marijuana, an important component of that, because sure. when we start talking to the Marijuana Control Board and we start talking about, you know, pesticides and yeah. fertilizers and these things, you know, that's a part of the conversation they've never been included on. They don't know anything about. And, you know, it's actually kind of blown their minds a little bit with some of the things that we've shared with them that we view as important, whether a health issue or just a public safety issue.
Yeah.
And so it's been an interesting conversation.
I bet. On yeah. the marijuana. Well, Mike talked about the popularity of his product also because of his organic growing practices. Of course, he can't call it organic because the USDA right. organic program, federal program, they wouldn't allow him to do that, right? But he's still using organic practices.
Sure.
He was certified organic vegetable producer for all that time. He knows all about that. And he talked about how many customers appreciate that and how it really makes a difference.
They should appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Because he's growing outside. It's my understanding that Mike is growing yep. outside, and that's so he's definitely under the natural vein there, you
yeah.
know, outside. And a lot of your marijuana production, at least the facilities that I have had the opportunity to go visit and tour, have been indoor operations.
Yeah,
you know, artificial lighting and you just go on. There's nothing natural about it. It's not
sure.
grown. They're not grown in soil, and Mike's doing it naturally.
Yeah,
and it's some cool stuff, and yeah. I'd like to see it personally.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, well, let's turn off the marijuana button and talk a little bit more about hemp. Tell us what you can about the hemp program at the Division of Agriculture out at the PMC. What's new, latest, and greatest there?
How much time do we have?
Okay, give us the short version.
Because we don't have enough time.
Yeah.
I'll keep it as short as I can and as detail that are relevant. So hemp, reality
was... There's a
was,
new spot on the website, right? There's a new page on the Division of Ag website, like a hemp section, right?
There is. frequently asked questions.
Yeah.
So the hemp situation, you know, SB6 went into law, signed by the governor April of this past year.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that had happened and kind of changed the whole conversation for the Division of Agriculture, unbeknownst to us, was the inclusion of CBD oil. Importation, manufacture, and retail sales. And that got wrapped into the SB6.
Okay.
And my staff and I, we were not aware of the implications of that.
Sure.
Well, I just read a memo from Legal today, and it's it appears that because CBD is now wrapped into it, that the regulations that we develop for this pilot program for hemp production mm-hmm. have also got to include the retail sales, importation, and manufacture of CBD oils.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
That's going to really pump the brakes, isn't it?
That's
a whole new program.
Yep. And what's happened is that just the CBD conversation, initially with the hemp production, we looked at that as something that we could create a hemp program that's
sure.
very simple, user-friendly, give us some longitude, latitude, acreage, and good to go. We'll come check it out and test it, make sure it doesn't have THC that's above 0.3%, and give it good to go, develop an industry, and see what we can do.
Yeah.
Look, when you add the CBD into it, I think my staff has counted over 600 or 700 different CBD products for sale right now in the state of Alaska.
Oh, my word.
And the way that SB6 is written, all of those products are under the purview of the Division of Agriculture.
Oh, well, good luck.
Oh, yeah, thank you very much.
I mean, they give you funds to create a new program and hire new staff and all those things too?
No.
I can ask those questions.
Yeah.
I'm on the other side of the fence.
So, no. No, there was no funds. And initially with the hemp program, we didn't think that we would need funds. It was definitely a lesson in efficiencies. The staff were looking at creating a very simple copying
sure.
what they've done in Lower 48 and just a very simple registration process and you're good to go. With the CBD, it is a game changer. We are seeing CBD products being sold in gas stations. My staff is telling me that they've gone to stores and seen $500,000 worth of CBD products at one location.
Wow.
Yeah. And we did the numbers and we figured out that a 50-gallon barrel of pure CBD oil would have a value of $450,000.
What?
Mind-boggling, isn't it? So next
time... We're in the wrong business.
We are in the wrong... Well, I'm not going to say that.
Oh.
Maybe you're in the wrong business. So these CBD revelations have really been mind-boggling. They've changed the conversation a little bit. We didn't get a fiscal note that gave us the ability to hire any staff or really dedicate any staff to this. The CBD conversation, though, really changes it.
Yeah. So who was paying attention to CBD before this? Anybody?
Marijuana Control Board was.
Oh, okay.
And I think there was some confusion right when SB6 was coming through, and they went into a big seizure. They made the paper. I think they seized some stuff at the Alaska State Fair right before SB6 was legal.
Oh, wow.
They seized some stuff from the post office, and it was some drama. It was in the paper.
Yeah.
And I think that's what was the driver to get CBD wrapped into the hemp program. Oh. And
which is kind of strange. I mean,
well, I think Marijuana Control Board was looking at CBD oil as a marijuana product, and then once the hemp program got put on in the Division of Ag's purview, the reality is CBD is a hemp product, and that's I think how law is starting to recognize this as a hemp product, not a marijuana product.
Curious.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so there's probably some things that need to be teased out.
Yeah.
But it has caused some interesting time. So the hemp regulations, we had thought, they'd be fast tracking these things and get them up and farmers will be growing. I had people just emailing and calling me going, hey, we're going to grow this summer. Because this passed in April.
Right.
And, there's high hopes. But the reality is once these nuances started to bubble up, the issues got bigger. Yeah. And the regulation turned into something that's going to actually probably take quite a bit of work to create the regulations that satisfy the needs of all the different governing bodies.
Yeah. Sounds like two different programs, though. Any chance that you can move forward the hemp regulations and rules and idea and move CBD forward too, but not hold up hemp with CBD? Can you? I mean, I know you guys just have staff sitting around with nothing to do and plenty of time. I'm just kidding. I realize that people can't see my eye rolls on the air. So that was sarcasm.
That's so funny. the attorneys that are working this, I think, are working pretty hard. And, there's some crossover with the marijuana comes into the conversation.
Yeah.
And so I would say everyone is going overtime on this. From the attorney standpoint, we have been in contact with attorneys from revenue, from I think commerce. I think it's making its way all the way. Eventually, it will make its all the way right to the attorney general for opinions and to make sure that everyone's in their lane.
Is the idea that as the hemp industry gets going in Alaska, that Alaskans will be producing CBD products? So we want to make sure that we've got it all spelled out in advance, because right now all those CBD products would be imported, right? It's all imported products.
Yes, it would all be imported.
Okay.
And then we have problems with some of the safety of these products.
Sure.
The Mike Ammer's organic conversation, I think that's very relevant. There's different extraction methods for the CBD production. Yeah. One is using butane.
Oh.
And one is using CO2 and butane. There's other chemicals that can be used, solvents that can be used to pull those CBD oils out of the plant. And I'm fairly certain that the community that wants to use CBD oil for their health probably doesn't want to use CBD oil that's been extracted using some toxic chemical.
Yeah.
And then
you might not know about it.
And then ingesting that in your body. So,
or giving it to your dog. I've heard a lot of people that I know are using these CBD products with their pets.
Amazing stories.
Yeah.
But the CO2 method of extraction, I think, is really the way that people would like their CBD to be extracted. Everything that I've heard and seen and looked at.
Yeah.
But it costs a little bit more. And so if you're importing a CBD product from, say, a foreign country of dubious origin, they probably didn't use the expensive, clean method of extraction for your CBD product. So there's so many different nuances to this.
Because there's no federal oversight.
None. Nope.
Oh, now I'm tracking you even more. This is a hot topic, Arthur.
Wild West on CBD production.
So be careful.
Be careful, yeah. And we...
You learn something all the time on Ag Matters, the message today.
a little tube of ointment, CBD ointment, that's like 0.2 ounces, could be $100 to $150.
Oh, wow.
I mean, and that's why that barrel of pure CBD would be worth $450,000. When you break it down, when they mix it to make the products, it is incredibly valuable.
So stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned.
And pay attention. And wow, that really adds a lot to you guys. Good luck with that. I'll text Rob Carter later.
Yeah, should we pass out his number so people can call and offer up encouraging and support?
All right. Well, one more reminder that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, celebrating 2 years on the air this week. Yay, us. And joining me in the studio this morning is Arthur Keyes, State Division of Agriculture Director. So we've talked about a couple things. I have noticed a lot of Alaska-grown products in the grocery stores this last week. Super excited about that as I plan my Thanksgiving meal and think about all those Alaska-grown carrots and potatoes and all that. But talk to me about the $5 Alaska-grown challenge.
I'm so glad you brought that
up. Do you have a winning store that you can tell us?
We have a winning store.
But you can't tell us,
I don't think
you?
I can tell you. I think that
nobody's
would be...
listening. You can tell.
Oh, Amy Pettit. You. No, oh, it's so funny. You know, so some history on the $5 challenge. Yeah. You know,
why do we do it?
Why do we do it? The reality is that the majority, let's say that farmers markets are a thing. You know, when back in 2006, when I started going to the farmers markets, there was 13 in the state.
Correct.
Currently, we are over 50 or
Correct.
Around 50.
Yep.
So they're a thing. People are aware of it. I mean, there are people becoming aware that I think that the quality of the food you eat is having an impact on your health.
Absolutely.
And seriously, what's more valuable than your health? And so I think that's driving the farmers markets, or at least one of the reasons for it. But the reality is the grocery stores, your Safeways, your Fred Meyers, your Walmart, your Costco's, your Three Bears, that is where 99.9% of the food that people are consuming is being bought. So
Absolutely.
We recognize this. And so back in 2017, we came up with a challenge. And ended up being called the $5 challenge, but initially it was a conversation about having like a Stanley Cup style trophy for the best promotion of Alaska grown
at
the retail level. And so initially we
contests bring out the best in everyone.
You
know, if you can figure out a way to make it a contest, everybody tries harder, right?
Ken Meter put his report out, and he created a little, and I think you created the infographic off that report kind of drove this contest of, you know, if every Alaskan spent $5 a week, it put over $180 million into the local economy.
That's
actually
right.
Maybe $188 million.
Yeah.
And when we sat around and talked about this Stanley Cup idea for these retail outlets, could not be overlooked was the fact that we don't produce $180 million worth of agriculture products. Yeah, crazy.
Not yet.
And so, and the peak times to buy the products that we are consuming is, you know, summertime, so June through October. And so we targeted those 5 months, and we initially called it the 5 for 5. And staff was sitting around my office, and they started doing this Subway jingle, $5.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then it kind of morphed into the $5 challenge.
Sure.
Is how we referenced it. And so in 2017, that it went off like it was just incredibly successful.
It was.
You know, I had a producer, you know, I think I've told you this in the air before, tell me, you know, his biggest complaint was he didn't know about this 6 months before we did it,
right?
So they could grow more because the orders were coming in, and he was losing thousands of dollars in sales because he didn't have the product. Good news. And so when I head out to a national conference for the ag directors meetings, I've always spoken about this, what we're doing about it, and it's got a lot of interest. And Johanna Heron, our marketing director, she's gone out and talked about it, and so this summer it was recognized nationally with the North American Agriculture Marketing Organization for a Marketing Excellence Award. Now, we've never won one of these before.
We haven't, and I can tell you we've applied before because I was a member of NAMO when I worked at the Division of Agriculture for 10 years. We submitted multiple projects for the NAMO Marketing Excellence Award, and we never got one until
this
year. Yeah.
And so we have that.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
You were up against projects from across the country, marketing projects and ideas from across the country.
From Mexico, America, and Canada.
Canada, yeah.
And we won. And they said it was pretty – there was a lot of projects.
Almost unanimous, right? Yeah.
And now what we're seeing is I think Johanna's starting to work with like 4 or 5 other states now that want to implement a similar
challenge
in those states.
Yep.
So we're going to see this thing blow up. I think you're going to see it this contest, this challenge happen and go national.
Yeah.
I think you'll be on vacation somewhere and you're going to see $5 challenge in New York.
Cool.
You know, you're going to see this happen. So really exciting stuff. That is, you know – needs to be mentioned.
Yeah.
We just wrapped up October 31st, the second year of the challenge, and we do have a winner. I'm not going to tell you who, but soon it'll be announced who's won this challenge.
Well, I mentioned this recently, but I want to say it in this platform as well. The $5 challenge had other results came from it, not just but in year one, Palmer Car Safeway won the $5 challenge, right? They got the golden carrot. And I can tell you that their competition across the street was frustrated that they didn't win, right? Meyer, the store manager, Dean, you know, let me know that, you know, his bosses were frustrated that they didn't win and what could they do more. And as a result of that, our relationship at Farmland Trust with Fred Meyer grew and strengthened because they wanted to show that they were supporting agriculture. Look what we're doing. And so they started sponsoring some of our events that we'd never gotten money out of them before. But so as a result of the $5 challenge, kind of raising that awareness, it's good to be on Team Ag Farmland Trust benefited as well. So.
And I've seen them out. Yeah, I saw them at one of your events. I saw their sponsorship.
Yep.
And then the spinoff on that, have you had Carol Kinley on the show lately?
Absolutely.
So did she talk about the peonies?
Yeah.
Well, that's a spinoff of the $5 challenge too. Fred Meyer's calling us up and going, what can we do? And we're like, well,
what other products
peonies.
Can we have?
Peonies aren't in the store. And they reached out to her. They fast-tracked her paperwork. And next thing I know, she calls me and she's like, Arthur, I'm sold out of peonies. And I'm calling everybody that's got peonies and if they want to sell their peonies. And we're selling lots of peonies.
Yeah.
So... $5 challenge was very impactful to the economy across the board.
Yeah. So. Kudos. Kudos to you and your team and to the retailers for, you know, jumping on board. It's one of those things where you give them free stickers and they don't use them and you give them free signage and they don't use them. But you create a contest and suddenly everybody wants to get involved. So do you know when the winning retail location, when we'll know if it's Palmer Fred Meyer or some other location? When will we know?
We are waiting to hear back. So traditionally the $5 challenge, the winner is invited to the governor's house down in Juneau.
The people's house.
And the governor awards them this Stanley Cup style trophy that we have.
And at the All Alaska Grown reception.
At the All Alaska Grown reception in February. And so we're trying to get some dates and figure out exactly logistically. Obviously, there's been some change in state leadership. We're trying to figure out how that is going to impact the dates and how we're going to do some things.
So stay tuned again.
Waiting to hear back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Cool. Very good.
But super excited.
Yeah. That's good. Well, what else? What's next? It's dead of winter. What are producers talking about? What's going to be the hot topic at these conferences that we're going to, et cetera?
One of the things I've always been an advocate for in Alaska, and I view it as a problem, is that we're so isolated, and you get farmers up here that are not getting the education that is available in other states. And
You got to tell this quick.
Yeah, and so
we're running out of time.
And so in December, every December, there's something called the Great Lakes Agriculture Expo, the GLEXPO for short. And so this year, using specialty crop funds from the federal farm bill, we have offered a program that allows almost like a scholarship tuition kind of deal where a farmer in Alaska can go to the Great Lakes Ag Expo and go experience 3 days of whatever you're growing, whatever you're interested in. They can go to the classes, 3 days of classes, and then a event center filled with the newest, most technologically advanced equipment.
Yeah.
And go see that in action and rub shoulders with farmers from all over the country. And bring it back to Alaska. And I promise you, those farmers, we have 18 farmers going this year that have signed up for the program.
Awesome.
It is huge.
How many did you have apply? Probably, did you have to limit it? Like, or you had 18 apply and you're sending all 18?
Well, there was 19 or 20.
Okay.
And then I think there might have been some issues with a couple of them because they meet specific guidelines.
Sure. That's awesome, though.
It's incredible. And that's coming up in a couple of weeks.
Cool.
And you're going to see farmers come back to Alaska excited about agriculture the opportunities.
Great job. I love it. Well, Arthur, thank you again for coming in this morning and talking about what's going on at the Division of Ag, being our guest on Ag Matters multiple times over the last couple of years. I really appreciate it. And our time is up.
Well, Amy, it's been an honor. It really has. I've had a lot of fun with you.
Good. So. Have a great day.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.